What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. My name is Zach Clinton. I'll be your host, and as we continue to grow, I'll have friends joining me each week to interview some of the leading experts in the fields of motivational speaking, mental health, ministry, and even sports. Our goal is to instill hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today, and our prayer is that after each episode, you'd be more equipped and encouraged to look, love, and live more like Christ from the inside out. That's our definition of what it means to be built different. So I hope you're ready. You better buckle up. Let's roll. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. Guys, I hope you're having a great start to the week, and I hope you had a great weekend. Honestly, this past Sunday, celebrating Father's Day, hope you're able just to be able to spend some time with, maybe even reach out to your dad, just letting him know that you love him, that you appreciate him, all that he's done for you in your life. A special shout out to my dad. Dad, you truly are. You're my best friend. You're my mentor. You're my coach. You're someone who I look up to. You're my hero. I love you with my whole heart. And I just wanted to say thank you again just for the presence that you've always had in my life and for showing up for me and just making me feel loved and reminding me just how much you believe in me and how proud you are of me. So I just wanted you to know that, Dad. I love you. I appreciate you. Hope you felt celebrated not only on Father's Day, but every day throughout the year as well. You guys, that being said, joining us today, he's a dad himself, but a man that really has a heart for a very sensitive, it's even a challenging topic to really unpack, but one that is very necessary. The topic's going to be, how do we really respond when we've been hurt by the church? Maybe it's a pastor or a church leader or a member of the church. How do we respond to that? And joining us is a man that he's experienced firsthand what it's like to be wounded by the church itself or by people really within the church, and that he just being able to see his parents even just navigate their way through church hurt, but also a guy who's written now a song about it titled Church Hurt. He's written a free 7-day devotional titled Life After Church Hurt. His name is Mr. Matt Hammett, and he's the former lead singer of Saint This Real. He's also a very near and dear friend of ours here at the American Association of Christian Counselors, Extraordinary Women Ministries, Ignite Men's Impact Weekend, and all that we're doing here at the AACC. He just has an incredible gift, really, and a calling from God, not only in music, but also just in communication, not only from the stage, but also through words that he's written in his books and now in this devotional. Matt just has a heart to help people understand what to do and how to respond when they have been wounded or hurt or damaged by the church. He goes on to ask the question, right? Do we just walk away or walk out of Christianity and abandon the church altogether? Matt's a firm believer, right? That the church does a whole lot more good than it does bad. But at the same time, just because the church does a lot of good, he doesn't want to overlook those that have been hurt and maybe have been carrying the wounds and the burdens from some of the damage that maybe people within the church have caused in somebody's life. So he has a heart for coming alongside of those people. And he goes on to say that instead of getting angry or disappointed when things like this happen, he challenges us to elevate this idea. And it's in his song, Church Hurt. He said, did I really put my faith in someone higher than a person, in something bigger than a stage? Matt's been quoted writing, Jesus continues to heal people around the world through imperfect people who serve him. But the imperfect people who serve him often need healing as well. As nations become weaker and more divided, the church must become stronger and more united. But how can we be strong? How can we be united if we don't care for our own who are weak? He really hopes and prays that not only his song, but also his free 7-day devotional, Life After Church Hurt, he prays that it can help just bring healing wherever it may go. My friends, this is just a really impactful conversation. It was one that I was really looking forward to, and Matt just hit it out of the ballpark, as my dad would always say growing up. He just does an incredible job unpacking not only his vulnerable story of being hurt himself and wounded by the church in his own previous experiences and within his family, but also how we can carefully navigate those things and remember that although people may have hurt us, that doesn't become a reflection of the entire body of Christ or the entire church, because the church is one of the greatest tools that can help sharpen and strengthen our faith. We need community. We need the body of Christ. We need the church ultimately to be able to be further and better developed and connected in these personal relationships with Christ and in our faith walk itself. So my prayer today is, and I know Matt's prayer is, if you're someone who has been wounded or hurt by the church, maybe you've even walked away from the church, that this would be just maybe the beginning of a healing process and journey for you to say, you know what, I want to step back into safe and secure relationships, of course, but also I want to understand that the church really is a place of healing. And one of my favorite Ed Stetzer quotes that he's been quoted saying is, the church without the broken is a broken church. We have to understand that although people within the church are broken, we all, right, have the ability to make bad decisions, bad mistakes. Even if you're the pastor, you're the worship leader, the priest, the deacon, whatever denomination you may go to, whatever it looks like, right? Nobody is a stranger to adversity or temptation in this life. We can all fall short. We all do fall short of the glory of God. But being able to identify that even though we've experienced brokenness, right, that's what the church is for. And my prayer is that the church, you would really understand that the church does a whole lot more good than it does bad. And if you've been wounded, let me first begin by saying I apologize for all of maybe the difficulty and the challenge and the adversity that you've had to walk through and that you've had to endure. But I just want to remind you today, and my prayer is that this conversation would remind you today that there is hope and there is an opportunity, that what may have seemed deconstructed, there's an opportunity for it to be reconstructed again. My friends, I hope you enjoy this conversation. Cannot wait to receive your feedback. Let me now take you and introduce you to my friend, Mr. Matt Hammett. Matt, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me, Zach. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. I'm really looking forward to just the time, just to dive deeper into you, into your story. I know we've had several opportunities to interact just over the years at several of our AACC or Extraordinary Women events. God has truly blessed you with the gift, right, of being just an incredible musician, former lead singer of Sanctus Real. You still are using that gifting and that calling that God has placed upon your heart just to instill this idea and this heart of worship across the masses and even in with in my life, and I'm so incredibly thankful and indebted to you for that, sir. But also, he just blessed you with the gift of communication, right? That's not just on a stage, but even in a devotional and a song that I listen to through my iPhone. We'll dive into some of those things today. But knowing that you're a busy man, Matt Hammett, what is life like for you guys nowadays? What are the dog days of summer look like for you and your family?
Yeah, so, you know, thankfully for me, this summer is kind of like a little bit of my downtime, you know, yeah. Probably how you guys experience too. I know some of the events get pretty heavy in the fall and the spring. And so, you know, with this, my speaking schedule and music schedule, which it's such an interesting variety of things these days, as you mentioned, whether it's speaking or a concert. But the summertime has been really cool because it's been an opportunity for me to just be home, for weeks on end, really, you know, and when I have traveled, I've taken my kids with me and trying to take advantage of, you know, some of the nice weather, take my daughter to San Diego with me next week. And the one thing I'm doing, though, besides family time, is over the next few weeks, is I'm actually going to go to Honduras on a mission trip. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that. I have a heart for international missions, always have, and just haven't been on a trip in a long time. So that's going to be a really great opportunity.
I feel like God always uses mission trips like that just to, we feel like we're going to go over there and we're going to be able to do incredible things for those that we have the opportunity of interacting with and impacting, but we always come back with a cup more filled than we left with, right? And so it's such a blessing just to see what God does. During the season of life, during kind of the downtime, the down period, you're being able to maybe experience a little bit more silence than having to go and perform. What do you feel like God has been just like teaching you in the last several weeks, Matt?
Yeah, I think for me a lot lately, man, I've just been really trying to slow down and listen. You know, I'm a big doer, and I know it's such a simple lesson, but I like to move. I like to do things. Yeah. You know, every day I want to be working in some way on something, building something, creating something, maintaining something, whatever it is. And I do think God is speaking to me lately just to just stop and sit and listen more, and just be more comfortable with the, I guess, with silence, to be honest. Because when you sit in the silence, you're forced to deal with everything, right? That's going on inside of you. Sometimes that's the stuff that's keeping you moving. So you don't have to stop and think about what's inside of me that needs to either be ministered to or change or grow. Those are hard conversations even to have with ourselves and with God. And so slowing down, man, trying.
I think that's powerful. And that's something that we all need to really instill, that practice of slowing down, of incorporating silence within our daily lives. And the summer is a great time to do it. Like you said, a lot of times it's the downtime, the down season for a lot of people throughout the year. And so just being able to really prioritize self-care, prioritize spiritual growth and development in our lives, that can kind of fuel us for the busy seasons that will inevitably come in this life. So I appreciate you mentioning that, sir. It's something that I'm doing my best in as well. Sometimes it's easier said than done, but it is truly a blessing, right? When God comes alongside of us and grabs a hold of our hearts in the midst of that prioritization. So Matt, something that I'm incredibly excited to dive into today is really just a very, I think it's an imperative topic in the culture and society that we live in. It's really unpacking your new song titled Church Hurt, and your free, again, I'm going to say it free again for all of our listeners, free 7-day devotional that you recently released with your friend Eric Newberry titled Life After Church Hurt. Matt, let's be honest, right? There's a pretty difficult and sensitive topic to approach. While at the same time, like I said, it's one that is so necessary, as countless individuals, and I would assume several of our listeners even, have been hurt or wounded or even damaged, right, by the church. A lot of these feelings maybe come into play, and some people maybe leave the church because of it. Other people maybe are just harboring some anger and some frustration toward others throughout their lives, even showing up to church on a daily basis. But as we begin, Matt, I'm really interested. When was it that you felt like God really imprinted this on your heart and said, hey, Matt, I want you to try to make this into a song, I want you to form a devotional about it, and knowing just that it really is a sensitive topic?
Yeah, it really is, because people carry all of their baggage or even preconceived ideas about church or church hurt into these conversations, right? Mm-hmm. So you know that coming into it, people are already like have all their own ideas and feelings, and it can really be a triggering topic to some people. And so I think what happened for me over the past few months, months ago, I was coming off of some conversations with people about the deconstruction movement, people leaving church. I talked to some friends who'd been through some recent hurt with church splits, and they felt displaced and they hadn't been back to church or found a church, or maybe didn't even have they didn't feel they had the energy to even look for a new church.
Right.
And so I'd been fresh off several of those conversations. And as I was thinking about it, I just started thinking about my own story. And I have had, things in my adult life that I've been through with church families, and relational complications and hurts. But I started thinking back to when I was a boy. I remember being 8 years old. I remember driving away from the only church that we had ever attended my whole life. And my dad and mom telling me and my brother that we were never going to be able to go back. And the reason that we couldn't go back was because my dad was on the elder board, and him and another guy at the church had brought something to light behind the scenes that was happening that wasn't right. And to kind of protect himself at the time, the pastor publicly asked my dad and this guy to leave the church from the pulpit, and it was just to protect him so that this thing didn't come out. Right. So, but here was the crazy thing. My parents, and I was just telling my brother this yesterday. I was like, man, mom and dad were such amazing examples, because they were hurt, unjustly, treated. But when we left that church that day, I remember my mom saying to me, this is really hard, but we want you to know that we love our pastor.
Wow.
And I was like, that's what they had to say, walking away from being betrayed in that moment. We love our pastor, and we don't want to say anything that dishonors him. And They never spoke poorly about people, gossiped about people. Now they tell the truth, right? In a way that was reality, but they handled it with so much grace. It was like they really understood that we put our faith in God and not people. Mm-hmm. And they still were able to love broken people because of that. And so that lesson, I started thinking about that and it made me really emotional. That was when I picked up my guitar and started mm-hmm. writing from the real emotion of reconnecting with that place in my life of what my family felt that day. And then out of that, once I kind of had the hook written and kind of the basics, got with my friend Sam and thought, okay, how can we take this from being a story just about my experience and try to like dial in the lyrics to really speak to anybody yeah. who's gone through this, you know, so that it's not just a personal narrative, but it can be a song that other people can take to heart and hopefully find healing, you know?
No, I think that's so powerful. I think one of my favorite lines really from that song is, did I really put my faith in someone higher than a person or something bigger than a stage, right? There's a quote by Ed Stetzer that says, the church without the broken is a broken church, right? So we understand that's awesome. That the church is, it's going to be filled with broken people. But at the same time, we also understand an old quote by Larry Crabb, right? It should be the safest place on earth, right? It should be about healing communities. Yes. There's just sometimes, Matt, where hurt people. You talk about it in your devotional, but that can be really difficult for us to accept, right? Because when we do get hurt, the first natural inclination is to take a step back, right? To kind of withdraw, to get away from things. Why is that, you know, kind of our natural tendency? And why is that sometimes to our greatest detriment?
Yeah, I think that it is interesting, the I guess, dichotomy, right? Like you got those two quotes and you look at Larry Crabb saying it should be a safe place on earth. Yep. And then the truth, I love that. I hadn't heard that Stetzer quote about broken people. Church without, what do you say? Church without broken people is a broken church?
Yep, that's it.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, but what's interesting about that is it's transparency and vulnerability about our brokenness that makes relationships safe, right? So that's it's right. Like, it's interesting. So really the conversation is about how do we take the pain and not run away or hide it, or run off and, you know, gossip about this person or just turn away from our pain and do the easy thing, which is not like isolate or, you know, run away from the problem. Yeah. What can actually make it safe is for us to be able to lovingly approach the problem or the problems as they arise. Right. And so it is interesting that both those quotes, though different, really do work together. And I think a lot of, you know, part of what I wanted to do when I wrote this song was to create a conversation around church hurt that could be healing and point back to the path to healing. Because what I've seen is a lot of people who are either it's like all about safety in a false safety sense, which means we don't really be vulnerable about the brokenness. And, you know, they don't want to have the conversation at all in a way to kind of like just protect whatever image they have of their own glossy bubble. Yeah. And then you have the other people who only leaning into the brokenness and they run and leave the church and deconstruct. And when they deconstruct, they don't reconstruct.
That's right.
And so I wanted to say, hey, let's talk about this from a place that kind of reclaim the conversation from a place that we're leading people to healing and we're willing to talk about it, you know, because it seems like most of the people that are talking about it over the past few years, documentaries being made are just doing the deconstruction piece, just the exposing piece, just the pain piece. And they're not leaving us with, you know, much of a redemptive conversation out of it. It's just kind of, even the Mars Hill podcast was like, okay, well, you just tore apart this church and gave us all the mess.
Right.
Now what?
Now what?
What am exactly. I, what do I do with this? You know, it's like, just be angry. And so I really wanted to be like, no, we got to lead people. We got to talk about it from a healing point of view, you know?
No, that's so good. Because as you're saying, there's a lot of broken people in a church, and the pastor, the worship leader, the deacons, the priests, whatever denomination you are, right? Just because they're up there getting the opportunity to share does not mean that they're not broken either, right? And so just being able to help that perspective shift of saying, hey, we're all broken people here, right? We all fall short of the glory of God. And then it's being able to understand that even in the midst of this brokenness, if I've been hurt, as you said, and if I have deconstructed, it's being able to reconstruct this back to something greater. Something that you mentioned, though, in your free 7-day devotional, you begin it by sharing, just like you did, kind of your story of being church hurt, Eric's story of being church hurt, and then you go into this aspect of the story that we tell ourselves. And like you said, most of the time when we get wounded, I can think of several people in my own life, when wounded, we just begin to put up walls and barriers. We lack trust. We think because one person wounded us that just affects the entire body, right? The entire church itself. And so we kind of run away from things. We pull away. We withdraw. Can you help us understand how sometimes, though, those lies that Satan would love nothing more than to instill within our minds can be a beautiful place, but also a very dark sometimes and turbulent place as well, how that can be so detrimental for us? Because isolation at the end of the day, as we all know, is the enemy, not only to faith, but to growth in general. How damaging can it be when we begin to listen to those lies, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we can take a real story and we can turn it into 1,000 imagined stories, right? Mm-hmm. When we're isolated, we're left only guessing what people might think of us, might say about us, what we imagine the conversations they're probably having against us, you know, and keep just building these walls. And then sometimes also we don't get to hear the truth about what God's doing in us or through us from another person's perspective. We're like, we're isolated and we're only listening to the voices of, like you said, the enemy, you know, that are so dangerous. Sometimes it's our own self-talk. Mm-hmm. And we just start, we cling to those lies, and then we grow those lies in our imaginations and grow those stories. And there's such a power in really facing it and looking at the reality of what has happened and processing that with safe people. Yeah. You know, and that was one of the things we wanted to, you know, bring out in the devotional, was finding a safe person to tell your story to and process it with, not to gossip or, you know, rant, but to share honestly, this is what hurt me. This is who hurt me. This is how it hurt. With, as we talked about, the end goal of getting in vulnerable community with people where we can, where that God can use to lead us back to vulnerable community at large with the church again.
Yeah. No, that's so good, because it's being able to lead us back, like you said, back to the church with those safe people. So that way we're not going to get re-wounded, right? And it's just like a more like negative experience, but leading them back to what could be more of a positive experience within the church. Because like you said, the church does a whole lot more good than it does bad. Unfortunately, though, in culture and society, all we see highlighted oftentimes are moral failures or different things like that, where people are getting just shot down. And sometimes, to be completely honest with you, Matt, as a believer, I believe that there are people out there sometimes where it seems like they're just waiting for something bad to happen within the church. So that way it just almost reiterates their lack of belief in the church. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. And then those people, I think, aren't willing to also face what you talked about, which is the good that the church does.
Right.
You know, and that was part of the reason too, I had a heart for engaging this topic, was because the church is the greatest force for good in the entire world.
That's right.
God's kingdom is building people, feeding people, adopting children. I mean, we could go on and on about all the things that the church does worldwide, you know, to serve and love people like Christ did. And I started kind of going, okay, if we want the church to keep doing, like to do more good in the world and to keep growing God's kingdom and make the kingdom stronger, then I really had a heart to care for the weak among us and the people on the fringes. Because I believe if we take the time to care for those among us, not be impatient with them. Now, I will say one thing you mentioned is like, it is frustrating and rightfully frustrating when it seems like people don't want to heal. They just want to play the card of like, the church is horrible and let's wait, like you said, let's wait for the next thing so we can pounce and make the church look worse. But I think there's a lot of people who just feel displaced. They don't know where they fit. They've been hurt. They don't know how to heal. They don't know how to get back into community. And as we reach for those people and help them see the truth, see that in general, the church is a beautiful place, despite the few people who may have hurt them. We ultimately heal the body and make the church stronger to do even more good in the world, you know? And so I do think it's important for us to get engaged this for that, from that perspective too, to just continue doing the work that God called us to do to build his church.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, as you mentioned, it's about identifying, right, some of those, maybe those few people that have hurt us or wounded us. And you even mentioned about that. I think it's day 4 of your devotional where you're saying being able to identify them, even writing down the names. Where did that idea come about? Some people may be like, well, isn't that, you know, isn't that bringing up the trauma again to where I'm writing down the name and it's like now I feel even more damaged because I'm going back to that moment. But at the end of the day, it can bring about a significant benefit if we allow it to let us. So can you help our listeners understand why you put that in the devotional and just the importance of it?
Yeah. You know, one thing that Eric and I really appreciated and the reason we included this is because our pastor, Darren Tyler, a conduit church here in Franklin, one Sunday morning, he was like, hurt by the church, he said, right? That's how he saw it. Yeah. And it was like, he kept saying, I was hurt by the church. And then he had a mentor who said, well, who's the church? Write down the names of the people who hurt you. And once he wrote it down, he was like, these are like 3 broken individuals. And I mean, obviously he knows he's broken too. We all are. But he's like, these were 3 people in the whole church in my whole life that actually hurt me like this. And he just kind of in that moment, it took that broad brushstroke away of the church that hurt him. And it realized, no, these few people hurt me. And then he could actually seek to forgive.
That's right.
And that was like a huge step for him toward healing.
No, and I think that's so good because when you write things down like that, it brings about this light. Yeah, like you said, so that way it doesn't bleed into the entire congregation or the entire body of Christ, the entire church. It's just, oh, wow, yeah, it's only maybe a couple of people that have really wounded me, but that doesn't mean that everybody's bad. Unfortunately, though, those are the lies, like we've mentioned, that Satan would love nothing for us than to believe. And my dad and I teach on a model. It's called our A's model, and it's about when we've been assaulted, we have a AA response where we can grow either angry and or anxious, which leads to a place of aloneness. That place of aloneness then can lead to a place of alienation, or in a sense, we can view people as arrogant because like you said, it's like when we're walking down the rows of the church, all we think about is ourselves. Like those people are talking about me and they may not even be thinking about you, right? Yeah. But we can't even get it out of our minds. Then that place of kind of alienation or arrogance leads to this idea of adulteries of the heart. We begin filling that void with other things. That's where addictions can then begin to take place or take root or form in our lives. And then it comes back to this idea that at the end of it, we can begin to listen to the lies of the accuser. And so when we listen to those lies, it gets to the point where we don't know where to turn next. But the first A that we do it in recovering our heart is the affection of God in our lives and through attachment and safe and secure relationships like you're mentioning. And I think it goes back to what you talked about in that line that I've already mentioned from your song. Did I really put my faith in someone higher than a person, in something bigger than a stage? Because you go on in your day 5 of your devotional to just helping remind us that Jesus is the one that felt all of this first, right? And I love that you brought up Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It's one of my favorite verses in all of scripture. It reads, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." That helps us know that we're not alone in the midst of our pain, right? Jesus has already gone before us and he is alongside of us as we endure whatever challenge or hurt we may be going through. Why is it so important, Matt, for our listeners that maybe have been hurt or wounded by the church to understand that Jesus really is the one that has already experienced it and felt these things first?
Yeah, you know, and Jesus is the head of the church, right? Yeah. And he leads us ultimately. And when we can look and say, oh, he was the very first one to experience church hurt. Then we understand that, I don't know, I guess maybe even before I wrote this song with my buddy Sam, I didn't really ever think about it that way from the angle of church hurt, you know, until we started having this conversation and we're like, where do we land this song? Where's the healing? And both of us kind of had that, oh man, moment. Like, yeah, Jesus was the very first one to feel this when Judas betrayed him unto death. And then he took all of Judas's brokenness and all of our brokenness onto his own back and loved us enough to die for us. And so it's really crazy when you think too, there was something that Eric said that I thought was really brilliant. He said, how many of the disciples left Jesus because of Judas?
I thought that was so powerful.
Yeah. I'm like, I'd never thought about that either. I was like, man, it's crazy because like they didn't look and go, oh, well, Judas betrayed Jesus. So see, you know, Jesus is bad. But that's in essence what we've done is we've looked at Judas and said, oh, well, Jesus is bad because of what Judas did. And so, but yeah, but we realize Jesus is like Hebrews, man, he's empathetic to what we've walked through. He's walked through all of it. Then we can know that he's with us in it.
Yeah. I thought that question was so powerful, right? How many disciples walked away after Jesus? I mean, after Judas betrayed Jesus and just understanding, yeah, that sometimes when we get hurt by others, we kind of allow that to distort our view of who God is as well, which is the furthest thing from the truth. And that can ultimately be the thing that separates us the furthest from, you know, our ultimate form of purpose and what we were created for, which is to be in relationship with God. And so it's just so sad and unfortunate that people have gotten to that point of believing those things, but there is hope. And that's what you get to in day six, pretty much, which is this understanding that we have a responsibility. And I think in counseling, Matt, probably one of the hardest things to do is to come alongside of somebody who's experienced wounds and damage in their past, things that they did not deserve to happen to them, but helping them understand that although they didn't deserve what's happened in their past, they have to take responsibility for their present and their future. So Matt, what is kind of the game plan that you give us just in this free 7-day devotional, but also that you'd give our listeners today as to what's our responsibility in responding to some of the church hurt that we've endured?
Yeah, I mean, Jesus gives us a very clear commandment that we have to forgive others. And that's hard to take the responsibility of seeking or giving forgiveness, even like you said, maybe we didn't deserve what happened. We also sometimes have to look at what's our responsibility. And I mean, we talked about the three sides to every story and the stories we tell ourselves. We also have to take responsibility for ourselves and what parts of this have I allowed to grow in isolation and get back to that reality, find, you know, who, again, who was it that hurt me so that I can forgive and move towards it. And then also one of the things again that we put in there that's so important is just praying for the people who've hurt you. Yeah. Jesus calls us to pray even for our greatest enemies. And how much more should we even pray for other believers who are part of God's family, even if they've hurt us? And I think when you, Eric mentions in there that when you pray for somebody who's hurt you, it's hard to stay angry.
Wow.
You gain a heart of compassion for them.
That's
and
right.
So, yeah, so hopefully that is, you know, really where we want to lead people is listening to what Jesus said. Hey, it is our responsibility to forgive. He's called us to it and to pray for those who have hurt us.
When you pray for someone that's hurt you, it's hard to stay angry. It's a word right there. And before, you know, we're kind of coming to the latter piece of this interview and our time together, Matt, but I wanted to highlight, because there were kind of three points that I highlighted from this devotional as well that I thought were really good. And I wanted just kind of leave them with some of our listeners today. You talk about looking outward and then looking inward and then looking upward. Can you help us understand kind of those three phases and how imperative they are in this healing process?
Absolutely. Yeah, kind of boil it down, you know, and that's really the pattern of the song as well as the devotional together as they're paired. You know, we hear that first verse of the song, it's the empathy piece of kind of looking outward at the situation. You're like, okay, what happened? Again, who hurt me? What am I feeling? Have I dealt with it? And there's an empathy piece in the song too. I really thought it was important in the devotional and in the song to really like be empathetic towards the pain that people have felt, because it's real, right? The pain is real. But then moving into the inward, the question that we've asked a few times that I'll ask again, am I putting my faith in the people on the stage, or just this, you know, this visual we have walking to church of the pastor, or the singers, or this stage, or this platform that people have? Is my faith in those people who stand on that platform, or is my faith in God? And then finally, again, yeah, looking upward to see that Jesus was the first to experience church hurt, that he empathizes with our weakness. He did the work to heal it.
That's right.
Through his death and resurrection. And ultimately, that moving with his strength and his power to forgive and pray for others. And so I'm hoping that in this journey, even though it's a simple one, you know, a 4-minute song and a quick 7-day devotional, like, I do hope that this is something that can really open up healing conversations inside of people and with others that can lead them through some of the pain that they felt, so that they can find healing and get plugged back into vulnerable community, not only with Christ, but with others.
Man, I think just both of those resources are so incredible. They're so insightful. They're so impactful. I'm incredibly thankful for you and for Eric and your guys' work and collaboration together to really just tackle a really tough and challenging and sensitive topic, but a necessary one. And you know how we love to end our time here on the Built Different podcast is I typically always say, you know, I want to leave the mic in your hand to just allow you to share a pressing word that God has placed on your heart. But as I was reading through each different day's devotional, you have kind of some closing pieces, and you have like a call to action that you title Step Toward Healing. And I love that aspect of Step Toward Healing, because I believe in the midst of being church hurt, right, we have to take these great steps. And you've already identified it. One of the greatest steps we can take is that of forgiveness, understanding that forgiveness is freeing. It almost just like it helps us get out of like the bounds that we've been bound by, the chains and the shackles that, you know, unforgiveness can bring us. And so by doing so, gives us the opportunity to actually step into these places of healing. So for the person out there, Matt, who maybe they've been church hurt, I'm sure a lot of our listeners out there have been wounded by somebody within the church, and maybe they've been carrying that for far too long. Maybe, like you said, they have deconstructed, they've walked away from the church, and they're looking for ways in which maybe they can reconstruct, they can be brought back and restored to the church body. What is just the pressing word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you would leave them with today on not only the importance of forgiveness, but also that would just push and propel them along their healing journey?
Yeah, you know, I actually pulled up the last page here of the devotional, and you know, this idea of what if we decided just to settle our minds in the truth that we could forgive simply because it's what we're meant to do? And what if we prayed over what happened to us and over those who hurt us with the words of Jesus himself? And it goes, you know, we put the Lord's Prayer in there. You know, he says very clearly, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus calls us to forgive. And it's simply what we're meant to do if we want to thrive in Christ. And then I would just say the final word, man, I think from my heart, and I hope this becomes, even the people who are hurt and are taking this journey towards healing, I really would love for our prayer, out of our own pain, that we would continue to feel empathy for others who are hurting and just simply pray that prayer, Lord, heal this hurt church. Heal this hurt church. God's church is hurting right now. And it's not just the typical church hurt that we might talk about or think of. We all have different experiences, but just in general, like, people are hurting in our nation right now, and around the world. There's so much going on that is pulling people in so many directions. We see the, you know, fatherhood crisis that's happening, the breakdown of the nuclear family. We see depression amongst teenagers. We see all the ways that kids are being pulled in their hearts and minds through devices and social media. And you know better than I do as a counselor that you know, the rates of depression and suicide are just through the roof.
Yeah.
And people are hurting and the church is hurting. And so that would be my final call, would be like, hey, you know, if you've been through it and you understand it, then reach out to somebody else who needs you and pray that prayer that God would heal his hurt church, because he's done the work and he absolutely can, and let him use us as conduits to do it.
I love that. I always say that God loves to use people through which he channels his messages of hope, encouragement, love, and grace into other people's lives. Like you said, forgiveness is freeing. It is something that we are called to do. And let us pray that God not only would heal maybe the church hurts that we've experienced, but that he would also continue to bring healing to a very hurt and broken church and world that we find ourselves in. Matt Hammett, question for you, sir. Where can we find, not only just be able to download your song, Church Hurt, but also your free 7-day devotional, Life After Church Hurt?
Yep. So people go to my website, matthammett.com. They can find the lyric video, links to where they can stream the song, and they can, there's a button there where they can just hit it and download the free 7-day devotional. So it's all right there. People can follow me on Instagram too, just Matt Hammett, or people use Facebook, same thing. Pretty easy to find all my accounts, but also in the bios there, I have a link to my link tree where people can find all the spots. But even with the song, people can stream it pretty much wherever they listen to music.
I love it. I encourage all of our listeners, go and just press into those two incredible resources that Matt has offered us. They really will bring about a sense of hope and healing to your life today. Matt, just thank you so much, my friend, again, for all the incredible work that you're doing, for being a conduit through which God is using in a time of need right now, for such a time as this. Thank you for all that you're doing. We love and appreciate you here at the AACC, Ignite, and eWomen. We're just thankful for you and your family.
Hey, Zach, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you having me on. I'm really grateful.
Absolutely, sir. My friends, just to give you guys just that outline again of what Matt really walks us through in his new free 7-day devotional titled Life After Church Hurt, which goes along with his brand new song that he released a few months ago titled Church Hurt. How he begins it is just by being able to, number one, tell your story, right? Understand that when you're going through the midst of pain, identify how maybe that pain has just internalized and it's been personalized within you, how you've been hurt, how you've been wounded. Number one is just navigating what that story looks like. Number two is understanding the story that we tell ourselves. Sometimes when we're wounded, natural tendency and inclination is to pull away or to withdraw. And remember that isolation or alienation is the enemy, not only to our faith, but to growth in general. We cannot do things alone. And so just by understanding that Satan sometimes loves to whisper those lies, and oftentimes we allow pain rather than purpose to have the microphone, which then just reiterates those lies and makes us feel alone, can be very damaging. The third day, he walks us through these three sides to every story, right? Your side, my side, and the truth. So it's this idea that we have to begin catching, challenging, and changing our thought life to replace the lies that we may have been believing with the truth of God's word. Number four, this idea of identifying maybe who has hurt you. If you feel like the church has wounded you, write down some of the names of people that have hurt you, because it will bring about this understanding that, yes, maybe there are a few people that were broken that have hurt you, but that doesn't mean that that has to give the full picture of the entire church body as well. And so just knowing that, yeah, there may have been a couple, but that isn't the entire thing, right? That's not what the heartbeat and the soul of the church is, not to break people. It's to bring about a sense of healing to people. The fifth one is just being able to understand that Jesus is the one who felt it first. We do not serve a God who cannot sympathize or empathize with us in the midst of our pain. He's experienced temptation. He's experienced every kind of hurt. He was the one who experienced what it looked like to be betrayed by the church, by his disciples, by his community first. And I loved that question that Matt and Eric prompt in this devotional by asking, how many disciples left because of Judas's betrayal, right? Just because Judas betrayed Christ, they still felt betrayed too. That had to have hurt to have seen a friend, somebody that they have walked with for miles upon miles, years, right? Just seeing him hurt and wound them as well does not mean that that had a negative connotation of their view or didn't distort their view of who Jesus was, who Christ was, who God was, right? So stay connected to the body of Christ and find those meaningful and lasting and trustworthy relationships within the church. The next one is remembering what we're responsible for. And it's that idea of, one, looking outward at maybe the specific event and how it unfolded. Number two, looking inward at how those events personally wounded and or affected you, leaving this need for healing. But then number three is looking upward and accepting this invitation to turn to Jesus, the one who actually, again, did endure the cross once and for all, including those who wounded and betrayed him. And then lastly is just this idea of forgiveness. My friends, forgiveness really is freeing, and it really is more so about the person that is doing the forgiving than the person that is being forgiven, right? Because it's actually helping just release the shackles or the chains that have bound us for so long, and understanding that forgiveness only takes one person. Reconciliation may take two, but forgiveness only takes one, and it will free us from drinking the poison that we thought the other person had been drinking the entire time. My friends, just being able to understand that we are called to forgiveness, and that our prayer, and I know Matt's prayer as he mentioned it there toward the end, is that not only can we be praying and seeking God in all of this to be able to help bring some reconciliation and healing to the wounds and to the damage that we've experienced in the midst of what we call church hurt, but also just being able to pray alongside of Matt and I and all of our family and communities here at the Build Different Ministry, and understanding that we need to pray for the hurt and broken church that we find ourselves in, right? The culture and society that we find ourselves in. My prayer is that we would understand that God goes where he is invited, and that we would be able to be willing as a culture, a society, a nation. I know that July 4th is, you know, coming upon us very quickly, that our nation would just be able to identify these things and say that we want to invite God back into the midst of this to become what we were always meant to be, which is the foundation on which this country was built, which is one nation under God. My friends, pray with us as we continually ask God to come alongside of the broken and the hurting church that we find ourselves in. And my prayer for you is that if you've been wounded, that you would go and first off, listen to Matt's new song titled Church Hurt. But second, go to his website and just download the PDF version of this free 7-day devotional. It is so powerful. It's titled Life After Church Hurt. It is maybe very simplistic and simple, and it's very short and sweet and to the point. But I'm telling you guys, it has so many golden nuggets in there that you'll be able to pull from it, and hopefully it'll begin this healing process. And then after you go through a devotional like that, find community, safe and secure community that you can begin unpacking some of these concepts with and having these conversations with, and then maybe find somebody. I'm a counselor by trade. I'm a Christian counselor, so I love just coming alongside of people in their moments of brokenness and challenge and adversity, and just being able to sit with them in the midst of their pain and allow them the opportunity to unpack it, right? Through careful facilitation and just through guided skills, just being able to help them find hope and encouragement and healing in the midst of whatever storm or challenge or difficulty they may find themselves in. Don't be afraid to reach out, to ask for help, to want to unpack this with somebody else who has the skill set to do so and who's safe and secure and trustworthy in doing it. Don't be afraid to do those things. Those people are there to help you. I know there may be some people out there that have wounded you in the past, maybe even in that counseling space, maybe even the pastoral counseling space. But understand that not all people are like the bad experience or the bad egg that maybe you had the run-ins with. So my prayer is that God would come alongside of you, that you would invite him in, you would invite him into the midst of your mess, you would allow him to speak life and truth over you, you would gravitate and attach to those things, replacing the negative lies that maybe you've identified and had about the church. You would remind yourself of the positive things and the truth about the church, the body of Christ, who God is, and not let some of our pain distort our view of who God is, and that you would begin to grow in an intimate relationship with God and understand the affection of God, that he truly loves you, and then press in close to those safe people and attachment frameworks with them moving forward. My friends, as always, we just cannot thank you enough for joining us for today's episode. We truly love being a part of your life. We cannot wait to see you next time right here on the Built Different Podcast.